of the day, parts of New England buried under more than a foot of snow from that weekend nor'easter that clobbered the region. Watching Wall Street, the Dow down 88 points, the NASDAQ is up 155. More details, srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has provided biblical theological education for God's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Christian educators since 1982. CTU would be delighted to assist you in your Bible studies. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a serious question. Should we have a representative form of government or a dictatorship? We have devolved into a dictatorship from a national level down. We're finding across America the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, Democratic Party mayors that seem to have the same feeling that Joe Biden has, that they can rule by executive order, including the new mayor here in the city of Jacksonville, with the mindset that she can, by executive order, have monuments removed without the approval of city council. Now, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you ask the question, how can that be done? Here's what she did. This is reading from the December 28th Florida Times Union rag paper. It was done on this basis. A grant from the Jesse Ball DuPont Fund, an anonymous donor to 904WARD, a Jacksonville nonprofit firm, covered the cost of removing the statue. The agreement for the work was between 904 Ward and ACON Construction. It goes on to say, City General Counsel Michael Fackler said that the Mayor Deegan has, by executive order, the authority to make this decision to remove the monument without seeking city council approval, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And supposedly she did that on the basis that it was private funds with a private contractor hired by private people to come on city property to take down a monument. Now, ladies and gentlemen, our president of the city council, Ron Salem, and others, including Dean Black, one of our state representatives, they've asked the question that if she has the authority to do that, can she also tear down a city building without permission? Can she pave roads? Can she build bridges? Can she tear down bridges? What can she do if there's no limit? What can she do? What can she not do by executive order? Ladies and gentlemen, I find it egregious, and I've got the legal memorandum. It's a 5-page document that was rendered at Donna Deegan's request before she took the monument down. And it gives the authority clearly to the mayor according to his ruling. But ladies and gentlemen, in the Florida House and the Florida Senate, House Bill 396, and Senate Bill 1122 have been introduced. Legislative session opens tomorrow in Tallahassee for this session. And those two bills will be discussed in the House and the Senate. That's House Bill 396, Senate Bill 1122. And if that law, that bill passes, and I urge you, call your senator, call your representative, email them, text them, encourage them to vote for this new legislation. I'll read some of the legislation wording and terminology in a moment. But if that passes, it will prevent this mayor or any future mayor or any future governor or any future city council from being able to tear down our National Heritage Monuments. I believe I have Raymond Johnson. Go ahead with the question and comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. Thanks for taking my call once again. I appreciate it. I appreciate you staying on this topic and trying to keep the listeners informed on all these issues. In full disclosure, I do have to say I'm sorry I was a little busy and I missed the prior portion of the broadcast, so I haven't heard everything discussed. I just know I hear the topic that you're talking about, and I did want to follow up. I had called in last week, and I was a little scatterbrained at the moment when I had called in, but I had thought about it and realized the point that I would like to make on this issue, particularly for your listeners to hear and understand, which is this. This is what kind of bothers me. The city council's all, upset over the situation right now. We all are, and I understand. But there's a hypocritical point, which is this. It wasn't but just a few months ago. Deegan took over July 1st as mayor, okay? Then we have, she brings in all her new staff. Well, to her credit, I know that's a hard thing to say, and I'm not her supporter and her fan and trying to, make light of any of that or say anything positive about her because she's a radical liberal. But here's the thing. She did, to her credit, try to appoint two bipartisan appointees to some positions in her office for mayor. One of those was a Republican nominee for not attorney general, general counsel, that's what they call it, okay? The city's attorney, the top attorney for the city, which was former councilman Randy DeFore. Randy is a woman. Randy DeFore, she did a great job. She was exposing some of the corruption with JEA and these other things, and that's why they didn't like her. So the establishment, the Republican establishment, those that are really in charge and the Rhino Establishment Council members, they refused to appoint her as general counsel. And so right now, the problem we're at is Donna Deegan says, my general counsel said I could do this. He gave me legal clearance for legal authority to just remove this. Well, the hypocrisy is now, the city council saying how horrible that is, and they want to bring in the general counsel. Well, wait a minute. They're the ones that just refused. They just approved that general counsel. They had to vote to approve, and the name is slipping me, whoever that is now, the new person in that seat. And yet we could have had a conservative sitting in the general counsel's office, and I don't think that same advice would have been given had they had not played this political game. So
I believe that, Raymond, the name is Michael Fackler. The general counsel is Michael Fackler, F-A-C-K-L-E-R.
Okay. Right. So that's what's going on, and this is the kind of garbage that you have. So we're in this predicament here. Okay. The mayor would have not gotten this advice. She could have may have done it or not, but the point is you just got to understand how hypocritical in the dirty politics that gets behind this stuff. And so it's sad, but just be aware that that's what's going on.
Yes, Raymond, let me read you take a minute, Raymond. Let me read you an excerpt from the proposed bill, the Senate Bill 1122. This act may be cited as a historical monument and memorial protection act. It's the intent of the legislature that the state of Florida takes all actions to protect and preserve all historical monuments and memorials from any removal, damage, or destruction. The Secretary of State, the State Historic Preservation Officer, shall be responsible for ensuring that each non-military family or Florida monument or memorial is not removed, damaged, or destroyed, regardless of the location of such monument or memorial in the state. It goes on to say this: it is the intent of the legislature that the state not allow a historical monument or memorial to be removed, damaged, or destroyed. Accurate history belongs to all Floridians in perpetuity. The legislature finds that an accurate and factual history belongs to all Floridians and future generations, and the state has an obligation to protect and preserve such history. Accordingly, the state preempts any local government elected official who may be swayed to undue influence by groups who may feel offended or hurt by certain actions in the history of the state or the nation. And it goes on very clearly. It says, if a monument or memorial be removed, damaged, or destroyed by a local government, the local government shall be liable for the restoration of the monument or the memorial to its original condition as close as possible to the original condition. Any official, agent, or member of a local government who directs, assists, facilitates, or votes to remove or destroy a monument or memorial that is removed or destroyed or on or after July the 1st, 2024, is subject to a civil penalty of up to $1,000 or the actual cost of the removal and replacement of the monument or the memorial, including any repairs that may be necessitated by its relocation or its replacement, whichever is greater. It is a massive 11-page document that's being pushed through. And by the way, tomorrow is the first day opening for the session for the House and the Senate for this session for the spring of 2024. What are your thoughts on that? Should we have state legislation passed that will prevent mayors, governors, or city council members in the future in the state of Florida to prevent them from removing monuments? Is it a good idea or a bad idea? I've heard some people say on both sides of the aisle different thoughts on that. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's obviously a needed thing. I mean, you would think that we wouldn't need anything like that. You would think that we currently have laws to protect that. But the bottom line is I support that. I mean, we're seeing a radical takeover of just outright Marxist communism. And we have to fight back. And we have to say no. And so I'm in full agreement with that bill, as far as I know at this point. Absolutely. So, and I do appreciate representatives filing to do that, and you know, it's yet to be seen if that bill will pass, but as you said, this, you know, session starting tomorrow, I guess, and so we'll have to keep a close eye on that one, so hopefully it'll move through.
It is my prayer that there'll be enough calls, text, emails to our representatives and our senators that will cause them to stand up and be willing to stand for the passage of the House Bill 396, that is 395, and the Senate Bill 1122. So I urge our listeners today, Raymond, to call the representatives, email, text, or write them, and ask them to please vote for that bill. And Raymond, one other thing before I let you go. Ron Salem, the president of the City Council, tomorrow night, Tuesday, the 9th, tomorrow night, will introduce proposed legislation. Don't know if you're familiar with it or if you've read it, but it's Ordinance 2024-46. And let me just read you an excerpt and get your take on it. It is to limit the use of monetary in-kind gifts or donations for capital improvement projects and any other purpose without council appropriation or approval. It is very, very clear in this proposed bill that Ron Salem will be introducing tomorrow evening. It says, notwithstanding the general counsel granted the first sentence of this section, the mayor was not, may not, without the approval of the council, accept any such gift, bequest, in-kind donation, or other donation if the same contains any condition, limitation, or restrictions. If it requires any public building or facility, whether existing or under construction or proposed, to be named after any individual, whether living or dead. No monetary and or non-monetary gift, donation, in-kind services, regardless of the amount, shall be used to alter, demolish, relocate, transfer, transform, or in any way modify any city-owned or managed property, object, thing, or other, anything else of substance without prior city council approval and or appropriation. No monetary gifts, donations, etc., shall be assigned a fair market value by the donor for the purposes of the appropriation or taking down of the monuments. Raymond, there are some of our city council members that disagree with this. What are your thoughts? What do you say to the general public, the listeners today? Do you recommend they call the city council members? You recommend they be at city council meeting? They will introduce it tomorrow night. The following city council meeting, they will discuss it. The following city council meeting, which will be early February, it will be voted on. So there's about 3 weeks now before this will be actually voted on by the city council. So do you recommend that our listeners get involved now, calling, meeting with, texting city council members, or going to the city council meeting tomorrow night and encouraging them in the introduction of this legislation?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's the same situation as we just discussed with the state level bill. I mean, it's just unbelievable that we're in these positions. And so I haven't read and analyzed that. I've really been kind of tied up and out of the loop here in the last little while. But I mean, what you just read sounds, you know, we've got to put a stop to the mayor in this out of control agenda and all these radical things they're going to try to be doing. And she definitely pulled a fast one and a trick. I mean, she used a downright trick to get it done. And but absolutely, if that council meeting is tomorrow night, 5 p.m., man, you should show up at City Hall. You really should go down to the meeting, speak at public comment, be calling. I think the city did put up a new website, but you can still get to it through coj.net, I do believe. We'll still take you there. So make sure you go to the city's website and look up and call or email the city council members. And, you know, say, look, we've got to put a stop to it. So, yes, we support this. There's got to be checks and balances, and she overstepped her boundaries. And we greatly appreciate those that take time to do so.
Yes, I believe you're exactly right, Raymond. Raymond, thank you so much for your comments, for your input. Ladies and gentlemen, Raymond Johnson with his ministry that is heavily involved in the political process in Jacksonville. And he's always an encouragement with what he does to protect our city. Raymond, thank you for your call, for your comment, for what you're doing.
Yes,
and
sir.
May you have a blessed
thank
day
you.
Today. Thank you so much. Ladies, some of that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Love to have your input. What are your thoughts on it? Legislation is in the hopper, if you will, in Tallahassee for the Senate, for the House members to discuss. House Bill 395 and Senate Bill 1122, that if passed, will make it illegal for any future governor in the state of Florida, for any future city council, for any future mayor, present or future. It will prevent them, that individual or those individuals, from making the decision to tear down, destroy, or to in any way remove the National Heritage Monuments that we've been so blessed with across America. I believe that it is important for our listeners to call our representatives, to call our legislators, including the House and the Senate, and ask them to be alert and to pass the bill. Now, I understand there'll be a lot of folks that'll be against it, and also the City Council. That is the local level. And listen, what we're talking about, both local and state, with the legislation pending, What we're talking about is a representative form of government. We have a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. We do not have a democracy where you could have a few people that are angry with the system, that hate the nation, that hate the heritage, and want to have it torn down or destroyed. And yet that's what we see taking place today across America. And now it has come into the city of Jacksonville with a new mayor that has the feeling that they can use donated money. Let me go back and give you the article. A grant from the Jesse Ball DuPont Fund and anonymous donations, doesn't say who from, to the 904 Ward, which is, ladies and gentlemen, I've researched it. It's a nonprofit organization. It's made up of several ladies that have the mindset that we should remove all national heritage monuments. They're on the fast track now of pushing the mayor, Donna Deegan, into a decision to remove the heritage monument of Andrew Jackson, which was the namesake of Jacksonville, Florida. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is something that we need to recognize. In fact, the bill says that an accurate and factual history belongs to all Floridians and future generations, and the state has an obligation to protect and preserve our history. Dean Black says, choosing to erase our history is not a brave act. It's a cowardly act done by a lawless mayor who hides under the cover of night. She said the city still has more work to be done. In fact, there's a mindset that every monument in the city of Jacksonville needs to come down. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that it's part of the movement that caused us to rename all of the schools in the city of Jacksonville that had a name of a historical figure? And for each school that changed the name, well, just the name on the building, all the documents, all the paperwork, all the references, etc., had to be changed. We spent an average of $2 million per school, of taxpayer dollars, $2 million per school to change the names, to simply to eradicate the name of that individual that was the school or the other buildings were named after. Ladies and gentlemen, when do you stop erasing history? Where would we be in America if this continues the trek that it's going? Now listen very carefully. If that's what the loose, lax, lost liberals are wanting to do, let's say, okay, we'll remove our monuments, but we're going to remove all of those historical monuments that you have across America that names thugs as individuals that ought to be recognized rather than ought to be imprisoned or should be shunned. I believe we have Miranda on the line. Miranda, go over the question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. I think the one thing that I think of when I think about what Ms. Deegan has done is the audacity of someone to think that they have the standing and the right to negate something that many people put in place many years ago, and that you can judge people from the past on today's behaviors and today's lack of morals, really. You can't really. I mean, everybody lives in their own time and their own historical era. We cannot judge people from 200 years ago with the same standards that we have for people today. It's not logical. It's just not logical. But that's what they are trying to do. They're trying to hold up this lens and make people think that, oh, all these people were evil, they were bad, they were. And the thing with Andrew Jackson, it's like, I'm sure that we're going to get, if we get into that whole subject is broached about removing his statue, oh, he was a slave owner, he was a this, he was a that, he was a president of the United States of America, okay? He lived in his own historical era. He lived according to the times in which he was born. These are things that I just feel like are lost so much of the time. That we can, we just cannot judge people about things that are with our modern view, our modern view of things. And I'm not saying that slavery is was a good thing. It wasn't. It was a terrible thing. But slavery still exists in this world in all its forms. Very horrible slavery. Look at all the children that are trafficked. That's a form of slavery. We have so many more issues in the world than something that happened 150 years ago. And for the removal of the monuments, I just think that's egregious because I'm a lover of history. And I think that monuments are markers. They're markers in time. They're for us to stand there and reflect what the monument means. I believe it's what it's just like for a tombstone on a person's grave.
That's correct. That's a monument. Well, Miranda, let me ask you to ponder a thought. If we're going to take, for example, the monument they just removed, the Daughters of the Confederacy, if you're going to take that monument down to say because of slavery, that was put out in 1915. How is it that since 1915 we've been able to coexist and work together without that being a divisiveness until immediately this person comes in and all of a sudden it's got to be done? Now, with that being the underpinning, how are we to look at it when they're putting up George Floyd monuments, busts and statues and symbols across America, and yet look at his record? What are we to do as Christians, conservatives, and patriots? Should we say, well, he was a thug, and he ought to be recognized as a good person? How should we respond to that? Should we also say, if you're going to take down the monuments because some of these people own slaves or approve slavery, etc., that was simply a benchmark, as you said, of history. We can't go back and change history, but that benchmark should tell us how far we've come from that position. Should we also say take down the bust, the markers of George Floyd? I believe that we should.
Absolutely. Like if because obviously it's coming out more and more and more what a real criminal George Floyd was, and what happened, what really happened to him on that day. He had provoked that entire attack that took place by his own behavior. He had passed counterfeit bills. He had done things that would have landed you and I in a similar situation had we behaved the same way. It wasn't because he was black. I'm sorry. It just wasn't. It was not because he was black. If I had done the same thing that he had done, I would have been in a similar position. And yes, I truly believe that. And I don't. I just don't think that as for all the progress we've made, I feel like we've gone backwards since we've had Barack Obama in the White House, because he brought out all the divisive behaviors. And, and he loved to point out all the things that that were things
bad
that divided
America.
People.
Yes, and, Miranda, our time is up, Miranda, but thank you for your call today. And the key to it is we need to recognize that what we have as history past should not be erased, so that in the future our sons and daughters can ask, what is that statue for? We can tell them where we were, where we've come from, and what America is about today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of